so anticlimactic to come up after that. You know, really. Abagabra, Scotland forever. Brilliant. Just brilliant. She just watched that the whole time. Great message, man. Just freedom. So we've been talking about freedom for the last few weeks here, and what it means to be free, and I just love that movie. If you're a guy, you love that. It's either, that's either your favorite movie, or it's Gladiator, right? It's one of the two. I guess there's a third if your wife tells you what your favorite movie is. It's The Notebook. Not too violent. Do as you're told. So, yeah, that's just, you know, that's a great... They took great liberty when they made that movie. It's historically completely over the top inaccurate, but it's a great story. And it's interesting because Scotland actually has an amazing vote this year. The same year that they fight in Bannockburn to win their freedom, the same date they will vote this year to secede from the Union and become their own country and actually for the first time have their own freedom. So I get the vote for that one. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But... pretty well. Anyway, sorry, neither here nor there. We have a verse we've been kind of highlighting. It's this one. Can we go there? Come on, read it with me. You with me? Here we go. Let me run loose and free, celebrating God's great work. Every bone in my body laughing and singing. God, there's nobody like you. You put the down and out on their feet, and you protect the unprotected from bullies. That's just a great, that's a freedom verse if there ever was one. I love that. I think all of us, right from the beginning of birth, within all of us there's an innate desire for freedom. Literally the moment you're born, I think it's within you. Because a short time after, what is it you're trying to do as a child? You want the spoon. You want to feed yourself. And it's everywhere. And it's on your face, and it's on the floor, and it's on your mom, and it's everywhere. But you want that freedom. A short time later, you're beginning to crawl. And you're scooting all over the place because you want freedom. And the next thing you know, you're trying to stand. Right? And then it's the wobbles and the walk. And I think I got it. And you are going for the door. It's all about freedom. And mom and dad are trying to protect you and everything else. But you just want to be gone. And out of the tyranny of your parents. Soon you think you've acquired your freedom. You've gone on to kindergarten. Maybe you're 4 or 5 years old. And you think you have just about arrived. And as you get there, you're so excited. Only to be met by the teacher who says, "Here are the rules, children." And suddenly, you have failed. Foiled again. And then you think, oh, maybe we're going out to the playground, it's going to be great. And there stands the teacher watching your every move. And again, you've lost your freedom. Then it's junior high. Oh, once I get to junior high, then I'll be free. There's all these electives, and we can go from classroom to classroom. It's going to be great. And then you arrive only to discover there's a principal in opening assembly telling you his expectations for you for this coming year. And what he expects your behavior to be like. And again, you've lost your freedom. Then it's high school. And you're thinking, this is it. This is my moment to be free. It's going to be great. And you're so excited to go. And then the next step, it's the car and the driver's license. Then I'll be free. I can finally leave my parents. And the parents say, you can use a car whenever you want. That's awesome, I can go. Dad, can you give me a few bucks for gas? No! And you're stuck at home. Freedom. Lost. Again. And then we go to college. You think, I'll go to college and I will be free and have the time of your life. And if any of you are a little bit like me, you suddenly get an opportunity to meet the dean at the school. Some of you, like me, maybe got to know him on a first name basis. Mr. Murray, look forward to seeing you again Monday. at noon for our regular appointment. Yes, Mr. Ahrens. Tim. Can't wait. Oh, I know. I'm going to get out of college and I'm going to be free. I know what I'll do. I'll join the military. Then after that, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And then we think, I know, once the kids are gone, then I'll be free. Then they leave and we've spent every last penny on tuition and we're not even free to travel. Everything's gone. And then we hope for retirement, only to discover that our bodies have exploded in our faces. Our backs go up more than we do. Freedom. The reality is most of us are pretty free. I mean, you know, rarely are we handcuffed or incarcerated for anything. Although the other day I came pretty close. Bro, I am coming back from the Santa house in December. You been to that Santa house? You know, the one over here in RB, that giant? It's unbelievable. Never been, you gotta go. So we're coming back from the Santa house with my kids. And as we're driving, we look ahead, it's about 9 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, and there's a DUI checkpoint ahead. And we see it, and Beth says, quick, take a left here so we can avoid the line. I'm like, no, it's okay, we'll just drive. I'm thinking, this will be a great teachable moment for my kids. And my kids will see that it's okay to see officers, and they're really cool, it's not a big deal. So we continue to drive to the DUI checkpoint, pull up, and the officer says, hi, good evening, have you been drinking anything? Nope. Just came from the Santa house. Terrific. Can I see your license and registration? And I go into my pocket and I realize I put on a different jacket to go to the Santa house. And I go, ah, it's in my other pocket, in my other jacket. He's like, no problem. This is a no tolerance DUI checkpoint. You're going to have to go up to the other area. I'm thinking, not a big deal. Kids are a little nervous. You drive up the way, pull into the no tolerance zone. Tow trucks, the lights are going on, cops everywhere, couple of the riffraff in handcuffs. My kids are freaking out. Mr. Officer walks up, taps on the window. There's four of them with their flashlights looking in. My son is now upset. And he goes, Dad, are you going to jail? My wife looks over and says, yep, he is. My daughter's all excited. She's like, I saw this on iCarly. You know? No! And the officer, you know, window, I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I said, I'm a minister. I tried that one, right? Like, here's the card. And I'm like, I'm a minister. I just, wallet's in the other one, And he goes, do you happen to know your driver's license? And unbelievably, I don't even know my phone number. I remembered it. I'm like, California, B4762. Oh, we'll give you the rest because I don't want to hijack my finances. And I told him, I remembered it. And he kind of looked at me and went, oh, just a second. And he got a piece of paper and he wrote it down. And he came back the second. He's like, don't do that again. I'm like, I won't do that. You know, I'm sorry. And so he let us go. And so I didn't have to wear handcuffs that day. So that was a good day. The truth is, we have amazing freedom in this country. But I do think that we are held hostage at times. I think that for many of us, our lives are hijacked. But it's usually from our own choices and our own thoughts. And I think that that is the question that I'm asking today. It isn't so much, do you want to be free? Because we want to be free. Kind of a no-brainer. The real question is, are you willing to do whatever is necessary to maintain the freedom that Jesus offers you? Are you willing? Are you ready to fight for that? And to be truly free as Jesus offers that to you? That's my question. So let's pray. We're going to look at Scripture. All right? You bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you. God, we love to be here to worship you together. Sometimes there's distractions. Sometimes there's sound issues. Whatever. God, we just want to worship you. And God, we just pray that we'd walk out of this room as challenged people, as people who would be motivated from your word, that we'd be motivated by you in our hearts to make a difference in our families' lives and in the lives of our community and people we touch. And that we wouldn't just walk out of here living a placid, boring life. But that we would understand what real freedom is about and that we would do whatever it takes to do that. Help us to learn it in your word this morning. And that we would make a difference. God, I pray that you would take the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart, and that they would be pleasing to you. In your name, amen. All right, you have a Bible. I want you to turn to this verse. We're not going to read it yet, but I want you to turn to it. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So if you have a Bible, it's in the New Testament, so it's about two-thirds of the way through. There's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then there's another book called Acts, and then it's Romans 5, 6. We'll get there in just like this. Kind of keep your thumb there. We'll get there in just a sec. While you're turning, I want to encourage you to use your Bibles. A lot of people, they don't use their Bibles. They don't even bring them. Bring your Bible, man. I mean, you're a church, right? You go to baseball practice, you bring your mitt. It's just kind of a no-brainer. You go to church, bring your Bible, right? Whether it's iPad or whatever, but bring something right in the margins. It's good. I take lots of notes in my Bible, and I try to look spiritual. And so other people can see. I'm like, ooh, look at that. It's really marked up. But do that. Some people don't like to write in their Bible. They think it's sacrilegious. You know, this isn't the original autograph that God wrote through a man. So you can write in this one. It's okay. The words are holy. The book is just paper. It's essentially, it's a tree wrapped in a cow. So, it doesn't work anyway. Sorry. Hopefully you're not. Yeah. Romans 5, 6. I want you to use your Bible, okay? Romans 5, I need new glasses. 5, verse 6. It says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And it continues. But we'll just stay there for right now. We're going to kind of flip around a little bit this morning. At just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that's at one point. And you don't need to turn to this next verse. Philippians 4:13. Many of you know this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Powerless, suddenly you've been given power. Right? It's very simple. First thought this morning that I came up with was that true freedom comes from God's power, not from yours. True freedom, write that in your notes, jot that down, write it in your Bible, put it in. True freedom comes from God's power, not from yours. When you're under pressure, you need two things. You need strength and you need stability. When you're having a really bad day and there's pressure on you and you don't know how you're going to react, you need two things. You need strength and stability. God offers both of them to you. He never grows faint or weary. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. Remember Isaiah 40? You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. God says, I want to give you power when you are worn out. And the reason we're so tired all the time is because you are never meant to live life simply on your own power. God meant for you to have a relationship with him, to be plugged into him, to gain power from him. And when you're out there trying to do life all on your own effort, it's no wonder we hit the wall all the time. It's no wonder we're so exhausted because we're just tapping into our own power source, just trying to make it through. This week while I was putting the message together, I had my computer on and I was working away and I saw the battery was getting low, but suddenly it goes onto the bleep where it says it's on temporary power or whatnot. And so I plugged it in, and then suddenly the computer just goes blank. Wonderful. And I thought I had plugged it in, but the reality is it was plugged in, but it wasn't into the power source on the wall. You ever been there? You ever made that mistake? How about in life? You ever been to the point where your emotions are just killing you? You're just fed up? You're emotionally exhausted? You ever at a point when you just don't know how you're going to, maybe physically or spiritually, you're just drained? And Jesus says, look, I have all the power you need. You just got to tap into the power source. Jesus did that on Easter, remember? He said, let them kill me, put me in the grave. I'll stay there for 3 days. I'll raise myself back up because I got the power. Theologians call it imputations, that literally the moment that Jesus died, God imputed our sin onto Jesus. He paid for our sin. And then at the same time, or at some point in time, again, I don't understand it. He's God, I'm not. He imputed to us the righteousness of God. So that when God looks at you, he looks at a person who's in right relationship with him. Here's the good news. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you up from your problems. If Jesus can raise someone from the dead, he can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead marriage. If Jesus can raise someone from the dead, he can resurrect a bad relationship that you are in. He can make that better. If Jesus has the power to raise something from the dead, maybe your career that's struggling, if you go to him and you lay that on him, God has the power to help you with that. But you have to get connected to the power source. He's got all the power we need. Remember, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through the great motivational DVDs I bought off the TV last night. It's not what he said. It's not about this silly self-help, positive mental thinking, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, gobbledygook junk. He's saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But listen, you got to tap into the power. Personal question, what's got you stressed out? What are you pressured about? What keeps you up at night? Is it your finances? Is it your job? Is it your marriage? Your kids, the way that they're. Maybe it's your health. What's got you stressed out? Because maybe instead of giving up, why don't you give it up to God? And just say, I'm going to tap into your source, your strength. God, you take it. You said you'd help me with the pressures, I'm giving it to you. Because true freedom requires that you use God's power. Secondly, write this down in your notes. True freedom requires picking a fight. True freedom requires picking a fight. You have a Bible? Again, turn over two books. You're going to go from Romans, if you're still there, go to Galatians chapter 5. All right? So you're going to, two books, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians. I need you to turn your pages louder so it sounds like there's more people doing it. Right? Galatians chapter 5, verse, what did I say? 13. That's right, I read the wrong verse. Verse 13. Okay, we'll read it in just a sec. Keep this in mind. Because one of the things I thought about with freedom is that it seems to me that when we have freedom in this country, and we all do, we abuse it. And not only do we abuse it, but it really started many, many years ago. In fact, Scripture talks about the freedom right from the get-go. Adam and Eve, right? What are they doing? They're in the garden, and they have perfection, and everything's good except for one tree, one stupid tree. And it's full of sin, and God says, don't touch that. Don't do it. So one thing, just don't eat from that. And what do? They eat from it. I've often thought, how small was the Garden of Eden that they had to eat? You know, was it like this? Like, oh, I don't want to touch you. But they, anyway. Have you ever wondered if they didn't eat from that tree, would we all be in the garden together? I don't think we would, because I think if you and I were there, we would have eaten from it too. Maybe I will. The truth is, I think that freedom is what gets us into trouble. We have so much freedom that we ensnare, we hijack our own lives. Galatians 5:13, it reads, as soon as I find it, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Now listen, this is important. "But do," underline this, "but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Do not use your freedom to indulge our other nature, but rather serve one another in love. You see, I'm just convinced that we hijack our lives, we take ourselves hostage by our own fool's decisions because we think we can handle it. We think we can be okay. And then we begin to take things that we've been given freedom to enjoy and we abuse them. And for some, maybe it's alcohol. For some, maybe it's you were given freedom to take a drug to help you to deal with something. Maybe it was pain. Maybe it was anxiety. Maybe it was something like that. And then suddenly, there's an abuse. And suddenly, you're addicted. And you are just, you can't get off it. And again, we've taken hijack of our own lives. Maybe it's lust. And you can't seem to get off that computer. Or maybe you can't seem to stop going to that place. And it's just, it's in your mind. Or maybe it's greed, or it's gluttony. Maybe it's comparison or appearance. It's just your self-worth. And you're so busy comparing other things and you're looking at other moms and you're saying, well, they seem to have it all together. They seem to have it better than me, and I'm struggling to get my own kids. Trying to make it work. I don't know how they can balance career and their children. I don't understand how that other mom can lose all her pregnancy weight and I'm still struggling. You compare. You hate that. Or maybe you're the mom who did lose all the pregnancy weight and you're comparing yourself with these other moms who you think they hate you because it just happened. But we judge ourselves and we take ourselves hostage. Guys, we look around at other fellas who have nicer cars and better jobs and more money. We say, why can't I be like that? What's that about? What am I doing wrong? You know what? It's a chronic problem, and it takes vigilance to fight. You got to pick a fight. You got to pick a fight with yourself. Here's what 2 Corinthians, if you have a Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, go left. Go left. 2 Corinthians, what did I say? Chapter 10, verse 5, I think it is. Oh, yeah, verse 5. Listen to this great verse. You there? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Oh, this is a fighting verse. We demolish. You know what that word means? Demolish in the Greek. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. You take a fight, you pick a fight, and I'm going to own this thing. I will not allow it to take ownership of me. When I start feeling like I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy enough, or something's this, or something's that, you know what? I have got to get on that. I'm going to pick a fight, and I'm going to make that my own. I'm going to use God's power to show that verse, that thing in my mind, whatever it is, I am going to show that God is powerful, and that He is greater than that. You know what you do? You take this word and you memorize it. And you find verses in Scripture that talk about God's power in your life and how you are worthy to be a child of Him. And you memorize those verses. You put them in your heart. If you don't know any verses, I'll find some. But you have to be willing to pick a fight with that. Tap it out, make it scream, whatever it is. Your struggle is not who you are. I once had a friend who I was working out with, and he took a needle one time, and he poked his finger, and I went, "Oh, I didn't know you were diabetic." And he said, "I'm not a diabetic." This was such a funny thing, Roger. He said, "I'm not a diabetic. I'm a child of God who has diabetes." I went, "Oh, that's hilarious. I like how you did that. You showed who you really belong to, and you just have this other thing." And he said, that's how it is. And I realized that's how it is. When people say, well, I'm an alcoholic, I hate that. I love it when they say, I'm a child of God who's fighting alcoholism. They're fighting that thing. I'm a child of God who's fighting to be the best mom that I can be. I'm a child of God who is worthy. I have picked a fight so that I will not be addicted to pain medicine. Whatever it is, pick a fight with it. Our burdens do not define who we are. Our identity is of Christ. You know, this, holy cow, look at the time. I don't know if I can tell a story. You ever had your car hit in a parking lot? You wish you could have caught the person who did it? Anybody? Amen. I have good news. I caught him. All right? We had just had lunch. We had just gone to Submarina. We came out. We're sitting in the Jeep, my whole family. I don't know if you've seen it. Jeep doesn't have windows. Doesn't have doors. It's just big. And so we're sitting there, and this person beside us pulls out of the parking space beside us, and then he goes right behind us and almost tags my car. And I'm looking, and boom, she hits the car right beside me on my left, driver's side left. And then she starts to back up, and she begins to leave. My wife jumps out of the car. My wife jumps out of the car and starts yelling, you can't leave. And I'm like, oh, I better do something. So, and so I jump out of the car. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I grab my phone, and I'm like, license plate. Walk right up to her driver's side window. I'm like, I got her. She comes running out of the car, and she starts yelling at me. And I mean, wow. She's giving it to me. You know, who do you think you are? You know, all that stuff, you know. It wasn't a good scene. You know, she's, you're full of inaccuracies. No, I'm not. So, my kids are learning all these new words. She's screaming at me. People are coming out of all the stores, watching what's going on. And I'm like, this is good. I yell at Beth, go find the owner. So she goes running in the store. She's screaming. I call the cops. I'm like, and I'm on 911. And they're like, just keep, don't engage. I'm like, I'm not. She's right here. And my kids are watching. I mean, it wasn't good. But and people are walking out, and I'm like, she hit the car. Is that your car? You know, and I'm trying to be the good guy. I'm the bad guy. And it wasn't good. And then Beth comes out. I can't find the owner. And then the lady decides to engage with Beth, and I'm like, Beth will knock you out. So finally, I had had it. I had had enough of all of her screaming, you know. She's like, what do you do for a living? I'm a minister. You're a liar. I'm like, okay. You know? And I had had enough. And I said the four words that I say to my children when I've had enough. And they know that if I reach this critical point and these four words come out of my mouth, there's about to be a spanking. Because we spank in our house. It just, you know, I survived, and I had wooden spoons and belts. And, but anyway, I deserved worse. But, and I gave her the four words. You know what I said? Do it. You go to your room. Brilliant. Go to my room, right? Time out. I said, you do as you're told. And my kids are like, she's going to get spanked. And I don't know, dude, she got in her car and she pulled in. And just a few seconds later, this young girl, lady comes out and she goes, I'm like, is that your car? Yes, I'm like, praise the Lord. She hit your car, here you go, here's a text. And then she said, for some of you, I don't usually say this, you need to do as you're told. Because you know the Bible. And you know God's will. But for the life of me, you just aren't playing. And you just got to do as you're told. God's saying, give it up to him. God's saying, you know what? Don't just give in. Nobody's watching. It's not a big deal. Just click on it. Just, would you pick a fight with this stuff? Would you apply this to your life? Do as you're told. Because God says if you do that, he will give you freedom. True freedom. But you have to do that. Do as you're told. lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Say, God, I need your power in my life. Wow, I'm almost out of time. Third thing. Freedom requires discipline. And just very quickly, we've talked about this before. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law so we wouldn't have to meet all these 200 requirements that were in the Bible. And he said, you don't have to fulfill the law. You don't have to do all these things because I've done it for you. I am perfection. So all I want you to do is have a relationship with me. So you don't have to follow all those silly rules. Have a relationship with me and grow in relationship with me. And then you'll be free. And that's what it's about. If you've ever wanted to work out and bench press a lot of weight, if you showed up at the gym and you just tried to lift 400 pounds on your own, chances are you may not be able to do it. If you've ever wanted to bench 100 pounds in the gym, some of you would really love to do that. You've never been able to do that. If you keep showing up once a month and you just try really hard each time, you're probably not going to make it. But if you begin to train and you eat the right foods and you do the right routines and you get disciplined, you might train yourself towards that. Scripture talks about training yourself for righteousness. And being disciplined. Many times through Scripture, it talks about different types of disciplines. There's an author by the name of Richard Foster, and he has this quote. We have it, we might have it. Awesome, guys. It says, every discipline has its corresponding freedom. The purpose of the disciplines is freedom. Our aim is the freedom and not the discipline. So the moment that we make the discipline our central focus, we turn it into the law. So what he's simply saying is, listen, here's all these things that we can start to do to grow in relationship with God, to be disciplined to do that. And if you do that, you will begin to feel your spiritual temperature rise. You will literally begin to feel it rise. Like, wow, I can't believe this is working. If you've ever wanted to read about these, there are things like meditation and prayer and study, solitude, service, confession, worship. There's a couple of great books. There's one called The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallin Willard. That's a real meaty book. If you want an easier one, Richard Foster has one called The Celebrations of Disciplines. And it's more like for dummies. It's easier for me to read, but you know, whatever. But they're both great. They talk about these disciplines. I encourage you to look into that so you can start to practice some of those things. And lastly, I just want to say, what will you do with your freedom? What will you do with your freedom? For some of you, you have freedom. And Wallace in the movie says, what will you do with your freedom? For some of you, you are free and you feel good about it, but maybe you've never freed someone and you've held them hostage. And you've chosen not to forgive them. I wonder if that could be you. Maybe it's time to give someone else freedom. Maybe it's time to engage again. Galatians 5 said that we're free, not to indulge our sinful nature, but to serve one another through humility. You know, not too long ago, I was looking through our junk mail, and I just threw it all in the garbage, and I noticed one on top. And I thought to myself, what if I come to in a place that I look at this and it doesn't bother me anymore? You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of looked at it, and I just threw it away. It doesn't affect me. Let me just say this. If this was your child, I'm pretty sure that most of us in this room would do anything in our power to help you to find your child. And let me say this. If this was my child, I would search to the ends of the world. I would rain down, you know, I would pray that the police find that guy before I did. And yet I just kind of threw it away. And so it got me thinking more about my Heavenly Father, because he talks about his lost child, his one. I wonder if you would join me in recommitting myself to wanting to look for the next one. Because they matter to Jesus. And I would desperately love to give them the same opportunity and real freedom that I have, that many of you have. I wonder if you would join me to recommit this year that the friends that I know, that the people who work next to me, to my employees, my family, whatever it is, that I would do whatever it takes to reach the next one. Because they matter to God, so they should matter to me. Because right now they're missing. That's what freedom's about. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time that we can worship you.